And if you've been listening to North by Northwest for a while, you know that I am, well, I'm kind of a self-proclaimed craft groupie. I love to visit artisans and craftspeople in their studios. I love to look at their work. I love to learn about it. I always dream that one of these days I will be able to do the same kind of thing as they're doing. So it was a great delight. I went one day last week to meet Alice Phillips at her studio in Vancouver. And Alice Phillips is a felt artist. She does sculpture and all kinds of wonderful, well, sometimes wearable and sometimes hangable pieces of clothing like kimonos, there are hats, there are shawls, and as I say, sculpture works all out of felt. I arrived at her studio. It was raining. It was a very gray day. But on opening the door, I was met with just an explosion of color and texture, because you can picture felt as the smooth fabric created by felting wool. Well, Alice also keeps some of the wool in its natural state, so it's like ringlets and cascades of ringlets on some of the shawls and collars, all dyed in these explosion of colors in that studio, reds and blues and oranges and greens, and all with a very faint kind of smell of soapy wet wool. It was a grand place to be, and Alice was getting ready for a number of shows, and I stopped in front of a pile of wool that had been dyed but hadn't had anything done with it yet. It was the brightest kind of a fuchsia red pink color, and I asked her what she was going to get up to with that pile of wool.
Just it's a delicious kind of red pink. I'm making collars, making felted
Right now
collars.
it's a pile of curly wool.
So this is wool that's from England. So it's Wensleydale from England, because unfortunately we've got the wrong kind of wool in BC. At least I haven't found the right kind of wool. We mostly have wonderful sheep for lamb chops, but
Okay.
it's that scratchy, itchy stuff that makes you think you're allergic to wool, right? Romney, which is great for carpets, but which is terrible for wearing near your skin. So this is Wensleydale from England.
So, Alice, do you get to go to England to get the wool?
No, unfortunately, no, but I have it shipped. It comes here, and I have to get it in very large quantities because it's so expensive to bring it in. So it comes in bales, and the last one I got a 500-pound bale, which is, it's compressed though, so it's just squeezes into the back of my ancient Volvo, and then must though, so it's just squeezes into the back of my ancient Volvo, and then my rugby playing son helps me get it into the studio, and when you open it, because it's pressure packed, it just goes spring, and you get this massive amount of barnyard, right? Because it's just it's fresh. It's very exciting. Yeah,
Imported English
yes,
barnyard.
it's heaven. It's the best wool. Yeah, steaming from the barnyard with everything in it. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah, everything in it. Yeah. So you pick out, I used to pick out all the flowers and bits of holly leaves, but I've gone through so much wool in the last long time that I don't do that anymore. But it comes with everything. And then it's sorted, because on each sheep, on the fleece, there's different kinds of wool on one fleece, depending on where it grew on the sheep. So there'd be lovely on the belly, there's wonderful curly, tiny, short curls,
Right.
whereas on the shoulder it would be longer. So and then at the bottom where it's been near the mud, it'll be muddy and really grungy, right? So you have to clean the whole fleece and take it apart. So there's different kinds of wool.
Right. So what will you do now with
Now,
this beautiful red wool?
so once it's been dyed, it's all dyed, hand dyed here. I
Right.
dye it all, and then it's if you had a wonderful sweater that you really loved and you put it in the washer and dryer by mistake, you know it would be suddenly very small. So
And
this is,
quite thick.
yes. So this is controlled shrinkage. It's using that property that wool has, that incredible property to bond together, to make textile. And it's the beginning of all textiles. It's before weaving. It's a really, really ancient process of making textiles. So these are going to be, this Wensleydale is going to be bonded to merino, which felts very readily, which will hold the ball together. So there's layers of wool, which are then rolled, like making sushi in large batches for a very long time. It's a great workout. It's an aerobic workout.
I can believe it.
Yeah,
Yeah. You've
yeah.
got huge tables in here in which you work.
Yeah, and I make kimonos. I've made big kimonos. So it's two tab three tables worth of yardage for a
Wow.
kimono. So it's a lot of fiber.
We sort of whisked over the dyeing there, but that's obviously been a process that you've developed over time as well, how to create the colors that you use, these beautiful colors.
Oh, really fun. Hugely fun. And I found that you can't do it late at night. It's kind of like caffeine. If you get a fabulous batch, it's really hard to keep your hands out of it. You can't sleep after doing it at night. Very, very fun working with color.
So, did it take a while to arrive at some of the hues that you've developed here?
Oh, yes. It's an ongoing process, what I do. I love color.
And is it always predictable what will come out?
No. Because I mix colors. I don't use one just color.
Oh.
I'd like to mix colors. So it's a whole art. My sculptured work is pretty minimal. It's pretty white, black and white. But for garments, because this wool is so luxurious, it's really not a conservative kind of product. So I just really like to make things that have a punch in terms of color.
So Alice, how did you come to felting?
I saw an exquisite coat on Hornby Island a long, long time, about 15 years ago, an absolutely exquisite coat. And I found the person who made it, and then I think I took her beginner's class about 8 times and then kept on learning from there. Yeah.
And what were you doing before that?
I made pots for a while. I've always made things. I like to make things.
So it was the structural, sort of the three-dimensional part that really appealed to you as well as the color then? Or?
Definitely, and it's also incredibly tactile and wonderful to work with. It's just a wonderful medium. And when you can use it three-dimensionally as well in terms of sculpture, then it opens out all other kinds of possibilities. So it's very fun to work with.
So when you start, for example, when you began thinking of the kimonos, for example, how did that begin?
I love the shape. I love the shape, and it seems so incongruous to make a kimono out of felt. So I just couldn't help myself but try. And then they just got larger and larger. And they first started to be they were worn. They're actually all made for wearing, but they've become too large really, and they really are hung on the walls now.
Right. When you talked about the history of felt, how ancient it is, have you done a lot of research into that as well?
Not a lot, unfortunately. I haven't been to Mongolia or lived in a yurt or anything, but I'm very interested, and I've read everything that I can find about it. It's still, I mean, in Mongolia, they still have yurt hotels, right? So it's still, and Iran and the Middle East. I don't know what's happened to the industry now, but felt has been huge there. And felt is now having a resurgence. It's all over Europe. It's very exciting. There's all kinds of artists using felt. I get a lot of artists coming for lessons, sculptors using it. It's a really exciting medium.
I wonder what led to that resurgence. Any theories?
I just think it's got such great qualities. You don't hurt any animal to do it. It's fairly low tech, and you can make the most amazing things.
But for a while, it was something that, I mean, I wasn't really seeing it in shows or galleries.
True. Yeah. It's true. Well, it used to be that it was only people made insoles for their husbands out of it, right? That was it. But things have definitely improved, and there's lots around and really
of what looks like a collar with that sort of fringe we were talking about, made with the long curly. Uh-huh. What stage is this one at?
Oh, it's in the middle. I'm just getting ready to roll it. So it's a pretty simple process.
And when you say roll it, you'll roll it around?
Once it's set up, I then roll it in bamboo mats, like the sushi that we talked about before. And there's a lot of elbow grease to get it to bond together, depending on what kind of wool you're working with.
Really?
So it's aerobic.
So how did you get started teaching then as well?
Well, I've been felting for a long time, and I think people just approach me, and I really enjoy teaching. I like it a lot. So it's a pleasure to see people getting excited about making things. And going on with it and developing it and using it in their own businesses, and it's a real pleasure.
So you get a whole, like you mentioned, sculptors who are coming and a whole variety of people who are working in other mediums who decide to incorporate this or take this on.
Mm-hmm. I get a lot of artists, and then I get just people who are just interested in making things and who like textiles. Because once you've got your hands in textiles, you realize just how delicious it is. It's pretty easy to go on and find other mediums and find other ways to use them.
So do you ever do pottery anymore at all?
No, unfortunately. No, I don't. But this is much cleaner. My doorknobs are all clean. I don't have
And we're in the studio here. There's this wonderful kind of faint, wet sheep smell, but a nice wet sheep smell.
Yeah, I don't even smell it anymore.
But it's kind of like wash day.
Yeah. It's very clean woolen here.
This is the studio of Alice Phillips in Vancouver. Alice Phillips is a felt artist in Vancouver, and as we finished her conversation, I let her get back to work on that collar.
The other nice thing about it is you can stop, drive people to a game, do some other kinds of work. I mean, you know, you don't have to, it's not like making pots where you have to trim the feet at a certain time or it's over.
Right.
So it's very forgiving. Now this is going to go on for a long time, but you can see it's slowly starting to.
It must be fun as you're doing this to open it up and see the progress.
The thing is, it's like magic, because you start off with something fluffy that's totally ethereal, and it ends up being a fiber that you can actually make something out of. It's fabulous. That's what's really exciting about it.
Right.
That it's magic. This is going to take a while, but.